Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, verse 19, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the revelation of your word. I thank you for the building blocks. I thank you for every person that's with us tonight. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come and study your word and to hear the revelation that you're bringing forth in this hour and then to stand in the gap for our nation. I thank you, Lord. Open up our eyes and our ears, O God, to hear the word of the Lord for us this evening. In your precious and holy name, amen. So Ephesians 2, verse 19, says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Last week, I spoke on a vision that the Lord gave me. A couple weeks ago, he awakened me about 3:30 in the morning with Revelation 6. And I'm going to quickly summarize from last week, and you can hear the message in its entirety on our website. But he woke me up, and in Revelation 6, that's all I heard. And it's always alarming when he wakes you up with any scripture from Revelations. But so I opened it up, and began to read. And as I read through those passages, I stopped at Revelation 6:6. And he said, "I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" And he said, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And I said, "Who are the oil and the wine?" And he said, "Those in my covenant anointed by me." Those who are in my covenant and anointed by the Spirit. And I said, "Really, nothing?" I just sat there before him thinking about that and really wanted to say, "So are you telling me that these scrolls have been, because this whole chapter is about the seals being opened and the release of the horse, horse after horse after horse. Where are you telling me where we are?" And I sat there before him, and he gave me a vision of a person. And within that person, I saw seven scrolls slide down in the body of this person. And they just layered, like you would look over at a bookshelf, a bookcase, and you would see, seven books lined up. That's how they were. They just slid right down inside the person. And I said, "What are the scrolls, Lord?" And he said, "This is what makes us us. This is what makes you you. This is the reason. What's on these scrolls is what makes you you." And it contained in these scrolls are the things that you will do in your life the things that I have created you to do. And so I began to ask him what these scrolls are, and he took me to Matthew. He took me to Matthew 22, 36 to 38. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so the soul is our consciousness, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions are all seated within the soul. Our heart, our inward affections, and the will is seated here. And the mind is our critical thinking. Helps us to know our God and why we serve him. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and mind requires a self-surrender to God. And I said, are these the first three scrolls? And he said, yes. For most people, these are the biggest scrolls. This is what will dominate your life. And we can look at the world today and see that to be very true. This is what dominates their lives. Their soul, the passions of their heart, their mind. They're often guided by the soul, the fleshly ways, the seat of their emotions, their passions, and they're often directed in worldly ways. These scrolls in most people are huge, and they take the other four scrolls and squish them up really small. And I saw a progression of events that took place in this cavity of this body that caused the other four scrolls, which I'll go into, the other four scrolls to squinch up smaller and smaller. And the first three, those that were supposed to, that were instructed to love him with, now I understand why, right? Because if we aren't loving him with our soul, our heart, and our mind, we are loving the world. And until we surrender our heart, our soul, and our mind to him, to his will and his ways, his thoughts, we will continue to serve these areas of our life, and they will expand. And I asked him what the other four scrolls were. And the middle one is the spirit man. When we get saved and we ask Jesus into our heart and we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, he comes in here. And for some, you know, it's a nice little bookmark. And they will, as Mom shared last night, some people are content to just be saved. You know, they love the Lord, and they'll go to church, and they will die and go to heaven. And they're content with that. And there's no judgment in that area, you know, on our part, is what I'm saying. But there are those who want the higher life, the deeper things of God. They want the revelation of God, and they pursue union, and that is what Mom is releasing to us on Thursday night. But the season that we're living in truly does require that spirit man to expand and begin to, you know, squinch up those first three scrolls. Because the spirit, to be led by the spirit, is to be led by the creator of all, to be led by the one who sent his son to die for us, to be led by the one who died for us, and to be led by the one who strengthens us, who enables us to withstand the tribulation, the trials, who enables us to withstand the things that we see in Revelation 6. If we have not immersed ourselves in his word and in prayer, withstanding the things that we read about in the book of Revelations, well, we'll just take that piece of the Bible right out and we'll just put that up on the shelf and say, I don't think I want to handle any of that. Most people would prefer to do that. I know people that never, they're Christians. They've never read the book of Revelations. They said, no, that's scary stuff. I'm serious. But if we're going to withstand the things that are read, that are written in the book of Revelations, then our spirit man must be fed by the Spirit of God. The next three scrolls, number five, are the gifts and talents that God has given us to function. You know, people can use these, and Mom talked about this a little bit last night. We can, you know, people in the world use the gifts and talents that have been given them. But we're to use our gifts and talents for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Number six are the mantles and anointings that are given to us when we accept him. You say, well, I'm not really in ministry. I'm just, you know, an intercessor. I want to tell you that's the hardest job you'll ever have. Outside of maybe a prophet, but that's the hardest job you'll ever have. To be an intercessor is to be misunderstood almost always by the people around you. To be an intercessor is to feel all the emotions in the room. To be an intercessor is to weep with those who weep. To be an intercessor is to weep for sins that you may never have committed as though you had. It takes tremendous anointing to be an intercessor. Number seven, this is the scroll that I focused a lot on last week, because this is the scroll that it contains the text of the move of God we were created to be in, which is why I read Ephesians. Because everything that we do, every generation, is built upon the prophets and the apostles. Every move of God is built upon the former move of God. If that move of God isn't released in the earth, the next move of God can't come. It might be disjointed. Every move of God builds upon the other. And we can literally create a stalemate in our preparation to be taken up in the end. We can create a stalemate in our preparation process, in the church's preparation process, by not availing ourselves or not allowing or not engaging or not having this part of the move of God that is to take place. Because each move of God releases a new element of God. Each move of God brings forth new revelation of God. Each move of God ignites and unleashes into the spirit that which we need to endure the season that we're in. Each move of God must take place. And right now, the enemy of our soul is doing everything in his power to thwart the move of God. So for us as his children, how does that impact us? Well, even as a child of God, we often serve the heart, the mind, and the soul. We serve those elements. Distractions are part of that. Our time, the enemy steals our time all the time. Why? Because then we can't go deeper in God. Escaping suffering. Why is that important? Because suffering brings about a refinement. If we're to be tried by fire, we better have a lot more gold and silver than we currently have within us. The enemy will do anything in his power to thwart the move of God, to thwart the development of the church and the maturing of the believers. You know, I talked about last week the revivalist that said yes to the unfurling of that final scroll that unlocked a new level of the Spirit of God, a new level that we could be built upon. We benefit today from the likes of Finney, Mother Eder. And the Azusa Street Revival, Billy Graham. We benefit today from the Wesley Boys, everything that had been unlocked. When I saw the Luther Reformation, I shared this about last week, I believe I shared it. When I saw that come and I saw him say yes, Martin Luther, and he nailed that thesis, I saw that sonic boom take place. And the Lord was telling me, he said, this is what takes place when someone says yes. Someone says yes and allows me to unfurl that scroll within them. That they will be a part of this move of God. That they will sow all that they can and all that they have into this move of God, this move of me, so that the next generation can have it, so that this generation can have it. A sonic boom is created. And if we thought those that came after Christ in the garden suffered greatly when he said, I am, and they flew back and fell to the ground because the power and the force of the great I am coming out sent them flying. That's the kind of power that takes place when we step into our destiny and we engage with his spirit and allow him to take the heart, the mind, and the soul, squinch it up, fatten up our spirit with truth, like Mom talked about last night, engage our mantles, our anointings, our gifts and talents, that we can be a part of the unfurling of the scroll of our destiny. I thought about Mom last night, and I thought, because, you know, I spend all week preparing for this, because I believe so much that understanding prophetically where we are, understanding and receiving the revelation that God is giving us, whether it is for a current event that we need to pray through, or whether it is for us to be thrust forward like I experienced in my truck, to be thrust forward in him. He's trying to advance us to be ready. So I spend a lot of time preparing for this. But last night when I was listening to Mom and I was thinking about her today, and I was thinking about her scroll, and I was thinking about her life in her ministry, 40 years. And, you know, when my mom got saved, my mom was all in. Everything she had, she was all in. Both feet, both hands, she put it all in there. She said, I'm yours. And I've watched her through her ministry. And if you listen to her older teachings, man, you want to slow it down because she unlocks and releases so much information in that time. Your brain could burst. But as I've watched her, and as I watched her release the book of Prepare and travel around the country, releasing the message of Prepare for the Winds of Change, the judgment that was coming to America because of the sin that we were in, the judgment that was going to fall upon us because of the seeds that we had sown as a nation. And I thought, how can she endure this? How much longer? And she carried that burden. She wore that burden. She carried it. And she fought to get a message out that people would prepare and pray. But when the Lord gave her the commission of the gatherings, we transitioned from this is what's going to happen. And if you see the map in the back of the book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, you see that pretty much most of the United States isn't there. So she goes from this is going to happen to God giving her the commission of the gatherings and giving us this period of grace, this period where he says, I will meet you and I will release revival before war ever comes to this soil, before this level of judgment ever comes to this soil, so that people can get saved. I will do this. I will stay the hand of judgment if you'll answer the call. 22 years later, we are an army of intercessors. So on her scroll is to birth an army of intercessors. She went from us, he said, go send it to the churches. We sent out 10,000 letters across the country. 10,000 letters to pastors all over the country that they would engage with us. I personally was involved with stuffing and labeling those letters. It was 10,000 letters. I had my kids, Karen and her daughter, Mom. We were there, and we were rolling those out. It was quite an event. It took us days. And yet today, we have our gatherings in hotels. Because the church didn't want to step in. So if that tells you what we've gone through, what she has gone through to save this nation, even when the majority of the church wouldn't say yes, I don't know what will. This isn't a judgment on the church. I understand pastors. I have lots of friends who are pastors. Now, I will tell you, we have two wonderful pastors that we have had conferences in their churches, and that is Pastor Matt and Pastor Chan, because they understand the need and the vision. Now, that's not the only thing written on her scroll, but for the purposes of our time, I felt that that was some of the most important to bring about. Of course, we know Melchizedek. Each of these came at great cost and with tremendous personal sacrifice that the world will never know. So have you ever wondered what's on your scroll? Have you ever been willing to consider that you have a scroll that lists your destiny, that lists the move of God you're to be a part of, the scroll that is to be used by God to release His Spirit in the earth? Have you ever considered the fact that your life is made up of scrolls? Every jot and every tittle He wishes could be fulfilled. But when we are so focused on those heart, mind, and soul elements, the rest of the scrolls look like teeny tiny, you know, magazines, maybe even brochures, while the first three are huge. But when we get saved in that middle scroll, the Spirit man, when He comes in, if we will avail ourselves to Him and go in with both feet, all in, He will take and use our gifts and talents and the mantles and anointings to move us in the direction that will allow us to be a part of the next building block in the history of the church. And if we allow distractions to keep us from that, you know, Jesus gave in Matthew 13, He talks about the seeds that go by the wayside. The enemy, remember I talked about that, the enemy comes in, He snatches them seeds up. Some of the other ones that He deals with are the stony places and the thorns. The stony places are tribulation and persecution. A lot of us fall to the wayside because of that. Some of us is the thorns, representing the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, both distractions. That doesn't mean that the things that we go through and that our family goes through is not important, but does it keep you from what God has called you to do? The more we spend in His Word and the more we spend in prayer, the greater our understanding will be of the thing He's created us to do. We will expand our spirit man as we engage with Him. And we can endure tribulation and trials. We can endure chaos and times of insecurity with peace, stability, and strength. Because it's not found in our heart, our mind, and our soul. It's found in our spirit man. When He says that the thorns are the cares of the world, I was asking the Lord, I said, can you give me an example, like a real life example of this? And the Lord reminded me of this plant I used to have. And it's a wisteria plant. It was in my backyard in one of my houses probably 25 years ago now. It was a beautiful vine. It was a beautiful vine. And it would just come and it would just reach out. And I think I moved in the house like in the spring, and it's all lavender and just glorious to look at. And it was along the back fence, and these beautiful green leaves with this beautiful, you know, lavender flowers. And I thought, and it was like it went across the whole fence. It was so beautiful. I thought, oh, was, you know, and we had a pool, so it was like the backdrop of the pool. And it was, ooh, ah. And then winter came, and all those leaves and flowers fell off, and I saw the vine. And I thought, huh, look at these branches. Look at how it twists and turns. And look at how it has really taken over the fence. And spring came around again, and that wisteria plant, as it grew, I would watch it grow inches a day. And it would grow and grow and grow until it would reach its vine several feet away to grab hold of the tree next to it. And if it could get a hold of that, by the next day, it would be coiled around that branch. If you let that go too long, that wisteria plant would have wrapped itself completely around that tree, and within a couple of years, it would strangle the life out of that tree. Now, that's deception, right? My ooh and on days were gone. And I learned that rats like to nest in them. I thought, my ooh and on days are completely gone because this thing is deceptive. And if we are not cautious and we don't keep it trimmed back, and I mean all the way back in the winter, it will stretch out and destroy all the life around it. So if we don't let the Lord come in and remove the thorns, clear out the stones in our lives, I'm telling you, those things will grow and grow and grow until they destroy our destiny. They'll destroy the walk that we have, but they'll destroy our destiny. Why is that destiny so important? You just, you know, get on with it. Why is the destiny so important? Because the enemy is trying to destroy this generation. Roe versus Wade passed in 1973. I was 5 years old. And since that day, we have lost huge segments of generations. We have lost, you figure a new generation, you know, is cycled through about every 10 to 20 years. So we have lost 4 generations, and we are going on 5. 63 million children that have been recorded are being slaughtered in this nation. That doesn't include the nations around the world. All of those destinies, all of those that are supposed to be a part of where we are right now, all of them, they're supposed to be here. Why do you think I had the Lord led us several weeks ago to repent for abortion and extract, if we have given into that and succumbed to that, to extract the life we gave up from the pool of blood, because that blood is what opens the door for the enemy to come in and destroy a nation. And I don't know if you've noticed, but they are trying to destroy our nation out there. They're not only, and the people that are supposed to be fighting with us are not here because they've destroyed them too. The Lord told me Roe versus Wade is on the cusp of being overturned. We are on the cusp of it, my friends. I want to be a part of the generation that sees it overturned. I want to be a part of the generation that reverses the curse from our nation, because when it does, the power of God is going to come forth in a way. I saw the skies cleared. The power of God is going to come in with an unprecedented wave, because the spirits that linger around a nation that has given to abortion. We see the governor of Virginia, and he's not going to let you let loose a balloon, man. You'll get a big old fat fine for loosing a balloon up into the sky. But my goodness, if you want to kill that baby that you just gave birth to, I'm going to give you a week or two to decide, and we will humanely euthanize it for you. That brings correction. And that opens the door for the enemy to come in, and you have no idea what the skies look like over Virginia. They're dark. In the spirit, they're dark. Because of that. Because the bloodletting opens the door. Chicago is terrible. Illinois is terrible. And the bloodletting that's taking place in their streets today. Bloodletting is what opens the door for us to get attacked. Bloodletting. They're dumping guns in Chicago. 77 people were shot this last weekend. 77 people shot in Chicago, the third largest city in our country. 77 people were shot. That's massive bloodletting. So Chicago and Virginia have been slated for a judgment because they've sown into the soil blood. I'm going to have to wrap it up in just a second, but let me tell you, Roe versus Wade is on the cusp of being overturned. Till then, we repent for what's been done. And we plead with God to have mercy on this nation. But the move of God that is on my scroll, and likely yours as well, because you are alive in my time. We're in this together. The move of God, the Lord showed me in D.C. in 2019, the move of God that would be birthed in California and it would go the world over. And you think, California, yes. And God is using people. Our skies are being cleared. Wednesday, I took my grandsons out swimming, and I looked back over the house, and there is a perfect cross. I took a picture of it. I can even put it on our Telegram page so you can see it. There is a cross over my house. His promises are coming. We are going to see this victory come forth. Two things that are on our scroll, brothers and sisters. Two things that we must achieve. We must see Roe versus Wade overturned. And we must give birth to the revival that will save our children. Because the enemy is coming in like a flood against their minds, against their hearts, and against their souls. Day in and day out, their witches don't give up. If it doesn't succeed, whatever curse, whatever sacrifice, whatever they've done, it goes back to them and they're hit with it. It's kind of a do or die situation for them. And so they release all kinds of stuff over our kids. But revival will cleanse our nation and heal it. I saw it take place. I saw the open heaven that took place. When I say what is written on the scroll of your destiny, I am saying seek the Lord with all that you have. Submit your heart and your mind and your soul to him and let him expand your spirit, fat with his truth, that you might use your mantles and anointings, your giftings and your talents to release and allow him to unfurl the scroll of your destiny, because you, my friends, have a mighty destiny that you get to be a part of. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege that we've had to come together and to hear your word and to cry out to you tonight as we go into prayer over the bloodletting, over abortion, over human trafficking, and to war against the enemy's plans against our city and terrorism, false flags. Father God, thank you for the privilege we have to do this, because we together, we are unfurling a scroll that we will never regret, ever. The words written in there, Lord God, are so precious, so critical for the generation that is behind us. They're so critical, those building blocks, so critical. Give us grace to never give up on this fight for our nation. In your precious name, amen.